What's up, homies? Don't laugh. Welcome to Billywood.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. Welcome back to another week of fun. Do I say shenanigans?
Yeah, you got to.
Shenanigans and sweet nothings. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host tonight. Joining me, as always, is my twin brother, Billy.
Hey there. What's happening?
And our good friend, Clayton O'Brien. Hi, Clay.
Who the hell was that guy?
That was Billy Wood.
That's Billy Wood, man.
He's alive and well. He's loving life.
There's a context behind Bill's Indian guy this week. First of all, I hope everybody out there had a nice week. Clay, did you have a nice week?
Great week.
Anybody talk to you about last week's episode? Say, you know, I'm a big fan of nerds, too.
If I could tell you the amount of phone calls I got, I would.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who was like, I love the show, but I got to admit, I've never seen Nerds 2, so I didn't know if
He has now. He's heard it.
She hasn't.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, I don't know if I could get a lot of the jokes. And I was like, well, that's something you're going to have to remedy then.
Note to producers, not everybody gets the Nerds references.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Understood.
Come on, how could you not love
See Nerds, everybody. Come on. It's part of being American.
I know, like, I was thinking,
it's
like
Bruce Springsteen.
I'm going to have to talk to her more about this, because I was like, you mean you never got the guy in college, but then when he made the obscure reference, it went, Nerds! You know, you didn't get that joke, you just thought it was like him being his normal self, that like he wasn't ripping off the guy Ogre.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Enough nerds talk.
Yeah.
We did a whole hour last week.
Done with it.
Yeah.
Did you have a good week getting back to that? Okay, everything's working out.
The beard's still good.
The beard is still intact.
Beautiful.
As opposed to having a broken beard.
Broken beards, yeah. Don't want any of those.
Broken beards is the name of my band.
Don't bother my dad. He's got a broken beard.
Broken beards and broken hearts. Live.
Broken beards.
Broken
week.
Yeah,
in
that's
Crestwood.
That's country music right there.
This week in Crestwood.
I just was thinking like
this week in Crestwood, broken beards and broken hearts,
starring Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep.
No, that's the name of the band. Broken
starring
beards
Billy
and
Wood.
Broken hearts.
Starring Billy Wood. Yeah. Back to that.
Yeah. Let's get right into that story.
Okay, fine. We got a couple of messages on my LinkedIn account this week.
Yeah.
Always exciting when you get a LinkedIn like personal.
You get
message.
Like lots of people to message you on LinkedIn. I need to like update my thing on that. It's very unprofessional.
I've never been contacted on LinkedIn in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but I mean, you should have, if you're in the professional world, you should have like a tight and buttoned up LinkedIn page. And I have yet to do that. So shame on me.
Well, Patty does, apparently.
Patty's just like LinkedIn on steroids, if you look at his page.
He's being contacted from all over the world.
Yeah.
I am.
And so the latest person?
So my LinkedIn profile, I encourage all listeners, visit my LinkedIn profile, please.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's public.
Uh-huh.
It has a bit of my showbiz career stuff that I've worked on in the past.
Sure.
And then the technology side of Patty is on that.
Robot Patty.
Robot Patty is on that page. I have a pretty eclectic,
range of professionals.
Of professionals that reach out to me. Lots of people in the entertainment industry, lots of people in the tech industry, looking for synergies.
Yes.
One of those such was, I thought I was getting trolled this week because I've gotten these before, all right? Because in the tech business, I get a lot of guys in India that are like, I'm coder from Bombay.
Right, right.
I want to work for your company. I can outsource everything, you know?
Sure.
And we're like, oh, okay. And I get bombarded with guys like that.
Yes.
This guy sends me one and I looked at it right away and I was like, oh, he's probably trying to sell me a payment gateway or something, you know? And then I open it up and his LinkedIn message was like about a page and a half long, like a long letter. I don't think I could read it on air at some point tonight.
Yeah, we'd like to hear this.
This is the most like flamboyant Indian guy. He's like a Liberace looking Indian. He's got all these crazy outfits on. And he says in his note to me, I was a star in India, MTV reality guy and or something like that. And
was
it
MTV in India?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. MTV India.
MTV India.
No, it's like
MTV India. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you do that again?
MTV India.
There it is.
Now do the robot laugh.
There you go.
Holy moly.
I'm all over it tonight. Keep going.
This is one of the most disturbing things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It's really good Indian, though.
Yeah.
anyway, he reached out to me and wanted to be friends with me. And like literally,
this guy's like the Carson Daly of India.
Yeah, he's like, I saw you viewed my profile after I sent you notes.
Did he sound like this, or is this just what you're imagining?
This is how I imagine.
I'm pretty sure he sounds like that, though.
No, he might just sound like, you know, me.
Hey, what's up? Saw your profile.
He might be Southern.
A big star in India.
I'm from Southern India. I saw your LinkedIn page. You look terrific.
I can't do it. Like, I thought maybe I could combine an Indian and a Southern accent together.
Yeah, that's impossible.
If you could do
it. Your head will explode.
If you could do it, you're going straight to Hollywood.
So anyway.
Straight to heaven. Guy did a Southern Indian. Blew my mind. Went straight to heaven.
Went straight to heaven?
There's actually an episode of The Simpsons where the guy Apu does the Southern. He's pretending he's like a regular American Joe.
Oh, he's like, hey, yo.
He's like, let's watch the baseball match.
Okay. Can you imagine if a priest sat down in confession and you were like, what do I got to do to get forgiven of these sins? He goes, I'll tell you what, do a Southern India guy. You know, go straight to heaven. Get out of here.
You're blessed.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Liberace of India.
Thank you.
All right.
He
contacts you.
He contacts me, and I blow it off, and then I casually walked in. I got to read the note, because now I'm worried. Maybe he, you know, this could be our...
Is he listening to our show?
Who knows?
Would you move to India to be a host of, like, TRL India?
No.
Yeah, you would.
Honey, we're moving to India. Pack your things.
What if it was for, like, good money?
I could kick it in India for like a year.
Yeah, I don't.
For like a year? They got McDonald's over there, right?
Oh, that's.
Yeah,
you probably
track one down.
That's the threshold line. India, no problem. They got McDonald's in India. I'll be able to survive.
Yeah, you'll do fine over there.
I'm not into Indian food.
No.
I mean, I've had some of it, but no. I don't like a lot of curry.
Maybe you would get into it.
I like Indian.
Well, let's see if it's even
butter,
possible.
Chicken.
We could all be moving to India if this guy. What if he offers us $5 million each?
We're big in India. We're big in Bollywood, maybe.
Who knows?
Anyway,
there could be 8 billion people listening to us right now.
Can you? I know it.
It's crazy.
Laughing every just
hey, everybody.
There's billboards of us all over India walking around.
There's guys in bars just laughing.
Did you see the hoodie?
I'll know when we get big if we go to India if I walk into some liquor accounts and some of the guys are like, oh, the show's tremendous. You know?
Yeah. Liquor store
owners. Wait a second. So let me just stop everything because I came in here and I casually mentioned that. And I was talking to Mike, our engineer, before the program. And he's like, no way. What's the guy's name? And Mike Googles the guy and he goes, hey, he's legit. You know, I go, what? He goes, look at his wiki page. And Mike has found a clip. Mike has a clip from YouTube that he found of him. First of all, his name is Imam Siddiq. I guess I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Imam Siddiq.
Imam Siddiq.
No, we have no idea what he's going to sound like.
You know,
this is the first time we're hearing Imam
that
Siddiq.
That actually reminded me of the song that Pete Genghis once wrote called Iman is a Soldier from a War Country.
But which we have to find.
Yeah. Going back to this, keep going.
Thanks.
You know
the audience
well.
Was like, what is Bill talking about?
You'd have to hear the jam. It's incredible.
Mike found a clip of Imam speaking on YouTube. This is the first time our... Virgin ears are going to listen to this. Let's hear what he has to say.
Har saal dekha jata hai na to territorial ladaiyan hoti hai aur har saal alpha males aate hain lekin is baar main kehna chahunga hats off to women's lib. It's alpha females not alpha males. Agar aap dekho to the two really interesting characters
That's
and personalities
enough. Thank
for
you
me.
Very much.
You hear that guitar wailing?
Did you get
in
all
the
that? Yeah, what was going on?
It was
very
awesome.
Distorted.
It's not like they were at a beach or something.
They're
anymore.
In like a wind tunnel.
They're at a Soundgarden concert.
Underneath the Miller Lite tent, you know?
Listen, I got all this stuff to tell you.
Women's Lib is alpha female.
Chris Cornell is freaking awesome, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's it. Well, maybe we reach out to him.
No, we laugh and we make
okay,
fun.
Okay, so
listen,
what did he say?
This guy could be our ticket to paradise. We could all be on the beach somewhere in India.
Man, yeah.
Riding goats into the sunset.
Riding camels into the sunset.
Goats.
Goats,
whatever they got.
I don't know.
They got.
Yeah, what do they got over there?
My wife used to go there for business.
Yeah?
Yeah, she worked for a company that has a lot of Indian employees, so her team was Indians.
Did she like it?
20 Indians. We have a picture out of our fridge of my wife and 20 Indian dudes that are like her team. It's hilarious.
That's outstanding.
She hated it.
Really?
It's a 24-hour flight or something, and it's crazy.
Uh-huh.
And
it's hot.
The food's terrible. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's too crowded. And whatever.
I know. So what did Imam say?
He's trying to sell me something.
What did Imam say?
Here, let me read it.
Chicago guy. What did Imam say?
What did Imam say?
He called you?
On with the story. Are we going to get rich or not?
He's full of lots of jokes.
Listen, can I call Imam? Because I got a couple questions for him myself.
Can Imam help someone paint my garage? Can you give me a couple Swisher sweets?
Hey, how long you been sitting on that Imam lead? Can I have it? Can I call it? You already call him?
This Imam guy might be for real.
What kind of cadence did you start with him? One email, two email, one call, no answer, back to email?
He's got like 62 digits in his phone number.
He does. He does. It's 919-819-773-381-4156.
Okay.
All right, here's what his note says to me.
Yeah.
Namaste, salam, happy bisaiki. I think.
Yeah.
Vishu and happy Easter, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me pleasure to formally introduce myself. I am Imam A. Siddiq. Should you wish to know more about my professional journey, life aesthetic, and pragmatic sensibility, may I please request you read the following interview, easily one of the most exhaustive and well-researched. As a freelancer with over 35 years of experience in the international advertising, broadcasting, creative design, entertainment, fashion, and lifestyle industries worldwide, I am pursuing my passion of training young talents. As a proud Indian, image consultant, casting director, personal trainer, life coach, at appearances, at bookings, at compare, at casting, at creative styling, at counseling, at choreography, at design, at entertainment, at fashion, at humor, at impresario extraordinaire, India, image consultant, at lifestyle, master of ceremonies, motivational speaker, at NLP trainer, at occupational therapist, at quality control, at research, at trainer, at visionary, at Wordsworth, at Wordsmith, at X Factor, ex Zen master. As an Indian anchor image consultant, trainer, casting director, I conduct seminars on impactful businesses' advantages. The first of its kind, motivational, inspirational, transformational, and image buildness. This is to demonstrate how powerful people acknowledge each other. It's a 3-hour package, which also involves grooming and styling, makeovers, which allow clients to see the transformation in themselves, both in pics as well as in video. For bookings, one-on-one consultations, kindly contact me at 84,000 numbers. Looking forward to a long, mutually enriching professional relationship with you. Wow. Wish you the very best. Regards, Imam Siddiq.
Imam, you are unbelievable, man.
I didn't hear tiger training in there.
You left one thing out.
Tiger training, fighter.
Everyone gets their own tiger.
That would be interesting.
What did he leave out?
My acting coach, he gave me a tiger.
So essentially, that's all he is.
Get my way out of anything.
He's just an acting coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was intense.
Yeah, he's a con guy, I guess. But he's legit. I guess he's been on MTV.
What a racket. Jesse. Remember that guy?
Yeah, like the guy that was like all cracked out.
Strung out, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Hey, it's Jesse.
Hey, it's Jesse.
He was on MTV too, so let's not say that's a...
I don't know if anybody's MTV
fan. Benchmark.
Fans. If you were an MTV fan, I'd love to see Jesse, that cracked out guy, and Puck.
Jesse's probably doing MTV India now. Like, hey, what am I doing here, man?
They love him. He's like, I want to play some David Lee Roth.
Let me ride an elephant, man.
Well, you know what? The one thing that Imam doesn't have?
What?
Oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
Yeah. I mean, you could eat enough McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Not oatmeal expert?
Yeah. I did not hear oatmeal expert in there.
No.
Or discriminating oatmeal lovers.
Discriminating oatmeal lovers.
Uh-huh.
At discriminating oatmeal lovers. Hashtag discriminating oatmeal lovers.
Yeah. You know what? I tell you what. You don't need to have a sales pitch like Imam. No,
all
you gotta do is say, "Hey, you want to be a rock star? Eat some McCann's Irish."
That's right.
We should just start doing.
If you're a talent agent and you want to start booking the best talent in the world, you gotta get up early, get a hefty
slam your oatmeal, drink it in a glass,
and spend the rest of your day listening to the last 55 episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie.
That's right.
you'll learn a thing or two. Uh-huh. This show is sponsored and presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Have you been worrying about your mom and dad as they get older? Wish they could sell the house and move where life's a whole lot easier? Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. Smith Village offers a full continuum of care. Your folks are entering a unique and special phase of life, shifting from worrying about their to-do list to exploring all the things on their love to-do list. They're expanding their interests, learning new ways to relax, and making new discoveries. And while they're exploring their passions, Mom and Dad will appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our three-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836, 773-614-6836, or visit the website at smithvillage.org. It's a great party. It's wickedly funny. It's roisterous and boisterous. It's a hoot. It's one of the funniest shows in town. What is it? It's Flanagan's Wake. Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, Flanagan's Wake returns to Chicago. Making Chicago laugh since 1994, Flanagan's Wake is now running every weekend at Chicago Theater Works at 1113 West Belmont. Flanagan's Wake takes us to the fictional town of Graplin, Ireland, where local roustabout Flanagan has died. We'll meet a zany cast of characters, including Fiona Finn, Flanagan's spirited fiancé of 22 years, Brian Bally Bunyan, his best friend and drinking mate, Father Damon Fitzgerald of the Ornery Parish Priest, Mayor O'Doul, the town mayor and bartender, and don't forget Flanagan's mother, along with a gaggle of goofy mourners paying their respects to the deceased and the great tradition of hitting the pub right before the wake. Flanagan's Wake is performed in the irreverent, improvisational style that won it rave reviews in Chicago. Much of the hilarity is created as the cast and audience interact, each offering stories about Flanagan himself and Where's the Money, with tall tales and rip-roaring songs. Spontaneous improvisation guarantees that no two shows will ever be the same. It's improv. Got it? Get it. Go see it. Flanagan's Wake this weekend at Chicago Theater Works on Belmont. Call 312-391-0404 or go to chicagotheaterworks.com for more info. For tickets, call 312-391-0404. For the love of God, it's funny! Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. They're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
This is for you, Imam.
Yeah.
You're going to need one of these three.
Welcome back. Hooli's Hooli, 1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Took a little commercial break there. We had lots of Indian stylist consulting talk.
I know it.
Imam
Sadiq.
That
was beautiful.
Imam Sadiq.
Give him a buzz. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve for us.
Yeah, be like, Imam, come on, let's go grab a cold one.
Like, you all should be you all should be magicians.
Gosh, he looks like Liberace in these photos. You ever, I would have liked to have met Liberace.
What's the movie about Liberace? Oh, you know what? You could probably do a behind the candelabra type
with this
film
guy?
With this guy. Yeah.
Well, I had a character like this, and I've talked about this before, was that there was a fictitious character that I've always wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
Except not Indian.
Right.
You know, you probably couldn't get away
not
with it.
Not yet.
But he's kind of based on a guy like this, and his name is Charity Balls. And he shows up at all the high-class events in town, and everybody takes him very seriously.
There's picture
lots of
that guy.
There's lots of, like, 75-year-old ex-Playboy Playmates that live on the Gold Coast that are, like, divorced and living off their ex-husband's money that are like, Charity Balls is a brilliant guy. And you're like, oh, my. Imam. It's him.
Imam.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
What do you think about doing a comedy? You're going to play a guy named Charity Balls. You into it?
Let's write it. See, we're always full of ideas here. Bollywood guy meets radio personality.
Meets local Irish Catholic radio personalities
Bollywood
from Chicago.
Guy meets public access radio star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Writes movie about him. Indian man hits it rich. Meets TV. Meets radio personality who writes Bollywood film about him.
What's the end of the movie? Indian man hits it rich. I don't know. We're working on it. Sound good?
Those Bollywood movies
are a real feel good one.
Are nuts. They got like they
or actually.
Have you ever watched a Bollywood movie?
Yeah, but I think I mean, I'm coming with the plot right now in my head.
Clay, you've sat down and watched a Bollywood movie. Why does it amuse me? I can't even imagine you lasting more than 10 minutes into one of those.
I haven't watched the full movie, but I've seen scenes from some of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have like these huge like dancing scenes.
There's
3,500 people choreographed to move at the same time.
Maybe he saw tapioca and was like, I got to work with these guys.
It's possible.
You know, who knows? But the script.
That's in Blockbuster India right now.
It could be, right? Yeah. There's hundreds of copies of it. Like,
my buddy Jimmy Zangrilli.
On the street.
My buddy Jimmy Zangrilli.
People are thinking, what is this?
He found a copy of it in Vietnam.
DVD?
I found a DVD in big wasteland
American
fiddle.
DVD?
American DVDs in that wasteland film.
Yeah, pop it in.
No, remember Jimmy Zangrilli found a copy of Tapioca in
Vietnam.
Yeah. Getting back to
a bootleg.
Getting
version.
Back to the script about Charity Balls.
Yeah.
I mean, I got like, you know, he gets off the flight, he comes to Chicago, he's gotta work at like his uncle's liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, we could come up with some great stuff here.
He wears like a cape.
Yeah, but he's depressed all the time.
Write a treatment and send it to this guy. And see if he's like, that's brilliant.
He's like Bruno or somebody like that, you know?
He's like Eddie and Jobo.
Who are these Eddie and Jobo you speak of?
Sounds intriguing.
I don't like the Hooli Zooli. I want to see Eddie and Jobo.
I love how in the middle of that description of what he did, all those things, he just threw Indian in there. Just right in the middle.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, occupational therapist, Indian. Gymnast.
Indian. Hashtag Indian gymnast, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, you know, I mean, like...
That's weird. When you proclaim to have all those talents, you're like, and you get a guy to respond to you, and you're like, which part of me is he interested in?
Yeah, yeah.
What does he want to talk to me about today?
Does he want to lose a few pounds? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say contact him, become friends with him.
I want to troll him so hard.
Maybe he'll invite you to India. Get you know, we'll have like a 1989 Lincoln Town Car pick you up. Like, welcome.
Cool. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to ask my buddies, my Indian buddies now, if they know who this guy is. You know?
Yeah.
He could be huge.
Yeah. It sounds like it was kind of
a mass email, though.
I'm going to show his picture. I'm going to show his picture.
700 million people.
I'm going to show his picture to one of my liquor buyers, Jatin. And see what he says. He's fun. Jatin's hilarious. And he'll be like, what?
Does he know? He probably watches Bollywood films. He probably knows.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Yeah.
But I don't know if he knows who this guy is. We'll find out. I'm going to see him. I'm seeing him tomorrow.
I want him to be like, drop and just die laughing. And he'll be I know who he is.
Jatin will probably see it and be like, what a geek.
Like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
He's the Pauly Shore of India.
He could be the Pauly Shore of India, you know?
No, I mean, this guy's way more dapper looking. He looks like, it's like the preacher Benny Hinn, you know who Benny Hinn is?
Yeah, of course.
He looks like Benny Hinn meets Liberace, you know?
Yeah. Google him. I am a
What happened to Benny Hinn?
S-I-D-D.
He's been around a while.
S-I-D-D-I-Q-U-E.
Did Joel Osteen put Benny Hinn out of business?
Yes, I did.
I think he did.
We're going to put an end to Benny Hinn.
He's a heathen.
Yeah.
Benny Hinn's a heathen?
He's never been where I've been.
That's the next movie with Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn the Heathen. It's like a tell-all. It's a tell-all story about Joel Osteen just trashing Benny Hinn.
I don't
starring
even
Iman.
We're talking about Benny. We went from show business right into Benny Hinn.
But we could have Benny Hinn is show business. We could write a movie about Benny Hinn and have Iman play him.
Joel Osteen is show business. Joel Osteen, Bible warrior.
Benny Hinn's not even Indian.
I know. He's just got a great tan. I think, right?
Middle Eastern of some descent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh well. So that was it. Like that's been the highlight of your week, huh? That's what
he's an Israeli, Benny Hinn.
Okay.
He's an Israeli televangelist.
That's been the highlight of your week. Being contacted by Sadiq.
Yeah.
Sadiq.
Yep, that's the highlight so far. Wow. And even more of the highlight was the fact that I didn't investigate it very hard until our engineer Mike was like, nope, he's real. And then all of a sudden, boom.
He's really famous.
I had something to talk about for the first 15 minutes of the show. Bang, bang.
That's fantastic. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, end of an era in the Forest Park community coming up this weekend. Actually, tonight as we speak, will be probably the last big hurrah there.
Yeah, at Kevel's.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the show right now, go to Kevel's at... 7228
Circle
Avenue.
How long
have you worked there?
I know. 7228 Circle Avenue.
How long did you time bar there for, Pat?
15 years even.
15 years as one of the barmen there.
I kept a shift there for 15 years. I wasn't working there full time, but yeah, that's pretty loyal. It's a good plot.
Yeah,
spot.
So Kevel's and Forest Park is going to be closing their doors. That's it.
Yeah. It's a sad day.
Yeah, man, a lot of great stories in there. A lot of funny things happen. Can you think of like one of the funniest things that ever happened to you in that establishment?
15 years of bartending. Can I think of it's so many crazy things happening.
Man.
Yeah, right.
Man.
Yeah. I threw up on the bar there.
I remember that.
It was a good time.
Yeah, that happened thousands of times.
I can't tell the rest of that story.
All kinds of crazy stuff's happened there.
Fights, so many fights.
Yep, people jumping on top of moving cars. I saw that.
You could have smoked there even when you weren't supposed to.
Yep.
It was great. Yeah. It was something out of the 30s.
Well, it's a supper club. It was like a Wisconsin supper club that existed right there in Forest Park, Illinois. In a suburb.
Everybody knew everybody. It was like Cheers.
It was exactly like Cheers. But it was also one of those joints that like, it was very clubhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like towards, that may have been... it was a good and a bad thing for the career of the restaurant, you know? Although the owners, Frank and Kelly, were the most welcoming people in the world, right? Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very warm hosts.
Best boss you could ever have.
Yeah. And but I had brought people in there before that were like, oh, this is one of those joints where everybody, the door opens and everybody turns to see if they know you. And if they don't know you, you feel like you're on Mars, you know?
Yeah, that's
good.
True.
Beat it. We don't want you here.
Yeah.
But nevertheless... pretty big club of people hanging out in there.
Oh, man, yeah. All the old pictures on the walls.
That's what was nice about it. Everybody, you know, you'd walk in and there'd be pictures of your parents on the wall, like their grammar school photos from all the old Catholic grammar schools.
And that's even as, black and white. Even as the time went by, he would put up our grammar school pictures on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, there was a lot of history in there, and people felt like, everybody that went in there felt like a little piece of the place was theirs. That was part of the charm. So I'm going to miss Kevel's. Come by tonight. I'll be behind
the bar. Yeah, it's going to be weird. I mean, that was a part of my life for a
final
long time.
Final Saturday at Kevel's. I'll be behind the bar.
Go in there, get
a
burger.
You're going to be behind the bar?
Yeah, Terry Goggin and myself.
Do we got a full kitchen?
You know what? I don't know if it's a full kitchen. Frank will probably just say, I'm just going to cook everything. Just put it out there.
Cook everything we got.
Eat it. Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And Saturday night, are you guys expecting pandemonium in there on Saturday?
At first I wasn't, and now I'm starting to think that maybe it could be pretty insane.
I think so.
Because I think the word's gotten out.
Yeah, I think the neighborhood will all be up there.
Well, because the announcement happened rather abruptly. All of a sudden, I was like, this Monday, I was like, oh, the word just went out.
Well,
like,
I know,
hey,
like,
we've decided we're going to pull the plug.
I know at Duffy's, well, my staff at Duffy's, our owner sent out a mass text to all of us that she'd like to see all of us at Kevel's at least on Friday or Saturday to go up there and say goodbye. Because there are some people at Duffy's that at one time were employees at Kevel's. My owner, Mary White, that's where I met her.
Yeah.
They opened in what, 2000?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like that place was there for like 100 years.
It's
actually, when you think about it, it was one of the oldest bars in Forest Park because it had been around since, right after Prohibition, right?
It's the actual structure. Yes.
A very old building. At one time, I think it was, a butcher shop or something that was on the corner?
No, it's always been a tavern.
Has it?
Okay. There's been some
ghost stories
in there. There's been some homicides in there.
Now what happens?
This was in the 30s or 40s when there was a shootout in there. But there's always, I, as a bartender there for 15 years.
Yeah.
There's some spirits running around in the old.
What have you experienced? Ghost?
Me?
People talking?
Yeah. Like your name gets yelled and you're the only person in the restaurant. One time I was looking at the stereo, the music was raised up. Like all of a sudden the music level just changed in the middle of the bar and nobody was in there again. It always happened when I was like closing up like by myself late at night.
Yeah.
And the music just goes way up and I turn and I look at the stereo and you can see the knob moving as it goes down again.
That is creepy.
Yeah. I didn't care. I was like, hey, you want to do a shot of Fireball?
Hold on a second. You saw the knob move?
I saw that knob move.
And that knob could not have moved on its own?
No.
Why does everybody that work at a bar claim that it's haunted, though?
Because a lot of them are.
Like a buddy of mine that worked with me at Duffy's for years.
I'm big into that ghost stuff.
Like the lights were flickering in there and stuff.
I like the ghost stuff.
He would be like, oh, no, we were bartending. He goes, oh, no, that's just the ghost. And he like knew who the guy was. Like he was like, oh, he's an old regular. We're pretty sure that he like. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He goes, no. I usually when like I get flustered by it, I just put a High Life on the bar for him. And I go, what? He said, yeah. One night I was working. I went to go take a leak, and I came back out, and half the High Life had been drinking. I was like, yeah, right. But I don't know. It's a funny story.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Ghost. This is another movie.
I've wanted to do this movie for a long time about devils and the ghost. Because Frank and Colleen are ripe for cinema.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah, for sure.
What else you got ghost wise over there?
In there, Frank Kevel's experienced this one before in the past. And although we should be talking about the great things of Kevel's, we're talking about we're talking about the ghost.
We could get into that. I mean, you could do. Think about the block parties that they did. Yeah, all the St. Patrick's Day parties.
Yeah, the place is fantastic.
I remember walking around.
Hey, the place is fantastic. Move on to the ghost.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. So what happened?
Yeah.
The ghost used to yell your name. I'd walk in, and there's one of those sort of trap doors that go to the basement. The basement.
I know it well.
Yeah.
The basement looks like Hannibal Lecter's den.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's rough.
You would hear from the basement, like, somebody yell your name, like, Patty! Like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd be there by myself, and I'd be like, Frank, like maybe Frank was there. No one in the restaurant.
Uh-huh. And you would go down and look everywhere.
Yeah.
And there would be no one.
No one. And then you'd think you were going crazy. Anyway, right. It would happen again. And
was it Frank's voice?
No. No. You just hear Patty like that. You know, I'd be like, what is that? Who is that? Mm-hmm. And I asked Frank about it.
Yeah.
And Frank's like, oh, the guy yells my name all day. You know, it's like,
really?
I'm so over it. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, so maybe, I don't know, Frank never elaborated much into that. That's probably not the best PR for the place, you know? Like,
I'm going to ask him on Saturday all about it.
Ghost is probably going to get hammered on Saturday. Yeah. That's like the last time he gets the people watching.
I mean, I remember like, you know
he'd be doing the worm in the floor.
Kevel's was always known for baseball, that was for sure.
For sure, yeah.
So if you were, you know,
big White Sox bar.
Diehard White Sox fan. I'll never forget 05 when the Sox won it being in there. It was one of the... I mean, that's one of the greatest nights I've ever had in a bar. Outstanding.
Yeah. I was in there.
I mean, people lighting brooms on fire. It was insane.
I quit drinking shortly thereafter.
Yeah. but yeah, I'll miss that about Kevel's. I'll miss going in there and talking baseball. Because you could always talk baseball. for hours. Arguments.
The food
everything.
Was outstanding.
Yeah. The food was outstanding.
Amazing.
The corned beef and cabbage.
The pork chop was like 2.5 inches thick, 3 inches thick with the plum sauce.
Crab bisque.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was hash brown casserole.
So
it's
good.
The best. That's what Frank would say.
Uh-huh.
Frank, how's the hamburger? The best.
Uh-huh. He was right.
Frank, how are the ribs? The best.
So now,
everything was the
what
best.
What does that space become now?
I don't know. There's been rumors that
a T-Mobile.
That would be the most heartbreaking thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be totally leveled, and they're going to build an apartment complex there,
which will be haunted.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
Ghost gotta go somewhere.
Right. Architect's name was Ivo Shandor. That's a little Ghostbusters reference.
I'm aware of it. Yes. Yeah.
Frank, I understand. Guys, don't worry. Ivo Shandor is going to do the build out.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves the circle in.
And they were performing.
That leaves Goldie's as the remaining standout place to go on the circle drive. There.
One of the last.
I would agree.
Yeah, one of the last.
Bowling alley's fun.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
One of the last.
I just took my family there.
I'd say that, Goldie's would probably be the longest running establishment then, probably in Forest Park, bar wise, right?
Maybe. Could be.
I think so now.
God bless.
Congrats
Goldies.
To Mike Sullivan.
I think he was before
Frank. Last guy in the bunker.
Yeah. It's a hard business.
Very hard.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, we've discussed this before that, who was it, Clay? Were you the one that told Bill? I was like, why don't you just start up
Billy's Bar?
Billy's Bar. We discussed that.
Yeah. You know what I think was great about Frank and Colleen is that they gave every kid in the neighborhood a chance to work there.
They did.
So if you were, were a young kid coming out of college or even in high school and you needed a job, you could have easily gone in there and Frank would have put you to work.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to the people of that community, Frank and Colleen Kevel. Absolutely. The people that they are. A lot of people got their restaurant starts there.
Yeah.
I mean, I technically did. I had worked at another establishment before that, but I didn't know anything about how to really give good customer service and deal with guests. One of the things that Frank Kevel has is the gift of gab. So he knew how to talk to people, and that's kind of, I used that when I would wait on tables or bartend, But I think about all the people that work there and I hope that I'll get to see a lot of them on Saturday
Frank had such great shtick.
I know.
How are you, baby doll? Come on right in, sit right down. All the old ladies that would come in, hi, Frank. How are you, baby doll? Sit down. And then and Frank would have the whole shtick down. But my favorite part was that, then Frank, as he got older, was getting a little tired, God love him. But, at a certain point, those same ladies would come in and he'd go, all right, yep, go right in the back there. Okay, uh-huh. And then they would leave and he'd be watching the White Sox game and they'd be walking out and they'd be like, good night, Frank. And he goes, I hope everything was wonderful. If it wasn't, go smell your underwear, and they'd be like, what? And then Frank would be like, Patty, give me a Coors Light.
Yeah.
just ignore it. No. Uh-huh. That was like the greatest thing ever to start witnessing and just laughing so hard with Frank. Frank, after a couple of years, was so funny to be around.
Constant entertainment. Endless. Mm-hmm. Endless.
Sure.
Well, we're going to miss it.
Yeah, goodbye to a legendary establishment, Kevel's in Forest Park, the end of an era. A
lot of laughs, a lot of tears, a lot of blood.
Yeah.
A lot of drinks.
So, hey, if you're listening to this, get over to Kevel's on tonight while you're listening. It's going to be rocking and rolling over there, and I'm sure you'll go in there and you'll see at least a lot of old Westsiders.
Yeah.
Probably going balls to the wall in there. People drinking like animals, I would imagine, on Saturday night. Everyone telling a story,
Yeah.
Should be a lot of laughs. I'm looking forward to it. But I won't get there probably till about 10 o'clock.
All right.
Yeah, I have an event.
What's
I got to work at the hotel. I'm back at it.
He's in a beard competition.
I'm in a beard competition at the hotel.
I have a beard pageant.
At the High Regency.
Yeah.
A pageant.
Yeah.
Beard pageant.
Beard pageant.
At beard pageantry. I also consult in beard pageantry.
Occupational therapist. India. Beard pageantry.
At Kevel's, at corned beef hash brown.
Uh-huh.
At full slab.
Yeah.
Have you seen the guy?
At Pav Schleb.
Have you seen the guy who slices meat? The salt guy?
Yeah, like he just like with his fingers.
He sprinkles the salt like in this weird way, and yeah. Then he's like he's a chef, and he slices this meat in this crazy. It's nuts. You got
to
look.
I've seen him. He's fun amazing. To watch. Yeah, he's very into himself though.
Yeah, he is. He's insane.
But
how did we just get on that?
I don't know.
We were talking about Indians in restaurants.
You know, you were talking about slice.
I said hashtag full slab. You said, you know, the guy who cuts the meat real thin and sprinkles the salt.
Full slab meat? Same thing?
No.
Come on. Speaking of slicing meat off of something, I had a gyro for dinner tonight.
Ooh.
There's something about a gyro. I mean, when you, like.
Something about lamb meat on a spit.
Can we get Greek music makes over, me wild. Over Bill's next comment?
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead.
Know.
There's something about a gyro.
Mike, do you have any gyros music?
I don't know. When you put, like, do you guys have this happen to you when you eat a gyro that all of a sudden, like, you can take a shower, but your fingers still stink like gyro?
I don't know. I don't usually smell my fingers after I eat gyros.
Well, you know that I'm a smoker, so I'll be smoking a heater. I'll be like, there it is.
Yeah. Yep, the gyros my is still there.
You're going into a job interview, you smell your fingers before you walk in, you go, no, that's not cigarette. Oh, that's gyro.
Can you imagine if a guy...
Hope I get the job.
The guy interviewing you is like, you really smell like gyro.
That'd be
embarrassing.
What would be better is that in the middle of the interview, you just whipped out a foil gyro and undid
just
it.
Started, yeah,
pounded a gyro while you were eating it and talking to him.
It's like, but
mind if I eat a gyro while we talk business?
I don't know. It's like seeps out of you. A buddy of mine told me the other
powerful
night.
Powerful
like, oh, I ate a gyro for dinner on Friday night. Bad idea.
I want one right now.
They're delicious. But I figured I didn't do a workout tonight. I went, I'm getting myself a gyro.
You got to treat yourself, Bill.
Get us. I asked the guy in line today. I thought he said to a guy, he's like, super gyro. And I went, you guys got a super gyro here? Mm-hmm. And he went, what's no, that? But we can do that for you. And I was like, sub T super gyro.
What does that involve?
I don't know. Half pound extra gyro meat. I don't know.
This is all fascinating.
I'm going to try it out though.
You should jog and eat a gyros at the same time.
I'd puke.
I think you could do it.
Yeah. Well, that was my dinner tonight. No Wendy's, no Taco Bell. Gyros.
I also consult on food and dietary.
Yeah.
Dietary.
He's a dietitian.
I also slice
no,
gyros.
No, it's not a dietitian. It's dietary.
I slice gyros.
And slice gyros.
I don't know. It's hard to say gyros fast in an Indian
voice. Hey, what's the ma'am's
voice.
Last name?
Sadiq.
And Ma'am Sadiq taught me how to cut gyros.
Taught me how to stretch. Taught me how to cut gyros. Taught me how to jet ski.
Mr. Papadopoulos, you should hire me to work the gyro spit. So Ma'am Sadiq, he's Indian, taught me how to cut that meat.
He's on Indian MTV. If you really have to know.
He makes your tzatziki sauce should make you weep. Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli. We'll be back after these messages.
It's a great party. It's wickedly funny. It's roisterous and boisterous. It's a hoot. It's one of the funniest shows in town. What is it? It's Flanagan's Wake. Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, Flanagan's Wake returns to Chicago. Making Chicago laugh since 1994, Flanagan's Wake is now running every weekend at Chicago Theater Works at 1113 West Belmont. Flanagan's Wake takes us to the fictional town of Graplin, Ireland, where local roustabout Flanagan has died. We'll meet a zany cast of characters, including Fiona Finn, Flanagan's spirited fiancé of 22 years, Brian Bally Bunyan, his best friend and drinking mate, Father Damon Fitzgerald of the Ornery Parish Priest, Mayor O'Doul, the town mayor and bartender, and don't forget Flanagan's mother, along with a gaggle of goofy mourners paying their respects to the deceased and the great tradition of hitting the pub right before the wake. Flanagan's Wake is performed in the irreverent, improvisational style that won it rave reviews in Chicago. Much of the hilarity is created as the cast and audience interact, each offering stories about Flanagan himself and Where's the Money, with tall tales and rip-roaring songs. Spontaneous improvisation guarantees that no two shows will ever be the same. It's improv. Got it? Get it. Go see it. Flanagan's Wake this weekend at Chicago Theater Works on Belmont. Call 312-391-0404 or go to chicagotheaterworks.com for more info. For ticks, call 312-391-0404. Oh, for the love of God, it's funny!
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Bulls lost.
Yes, Bulls are done. Well, they're not done. It's 3-2. They're done.
When's the next game? We record the show on Wednesday night.
They're going to play on Friday night. So, I mean, by the time the radio audience probably listens, the series might be over. I don't know. I think it's over. It is. It's, you know, it's like you go up 2-0. But, hey, you know, it's the NBA.
Hey, Bill, do you have 10 concerts that you've been to and one is fake and we got to all guess the one that you've never been to?
No.
Have you seen this trend on Facebook?
I saw some of it today. No. Yeah.
I'm not on Facebook.
The thing is going off like wildfire. Like my entire feed is people doing this now. And I don't think I've ever been to like more than 5 concerts.
Really?
It's so sad, really. But like, I've been to plenty of concerts, but like they would be very obscure local bands.
You're talking about like big, well-known pop rock and roll bands.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been to some rock and roll concerts.
I know you have.
Hey, man, what concerts have you been to?
I don't know if we can let you in. Yeah.
I've seen them all. I've seen Skid Row.
Did you see Sebastian Bach and Skid Row?
I did. I saw Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, that's good.
The Who, Rolling Stones.
Pumpkins.
No Pumpkins.
Never saw the Pumpkins. I thought I would have
played you. Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
Black Crowes.
Yep.
Dave Matthews.
Steve Miller Band.
The Beastie Boys. No Steve Miller.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like concerts that people would always go to in high school.
Patty.
Fish.
No
the Dead.
Patty,
no Fish.
Nope. None of that. None of that.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy for that. I like to be in and out in like an hour and a half.
Like I can't go to a Fish show. I gotta go to Skinner.
Do you remember your first? Yeah. Do you remember your first concert?
My first was the Black Crowes at the Aragon Ballroom.
My first was
like a freshman in high school.
Crowded House at the Aragon, not at the Aragon, at the Vic. And a buddy of mine, a childhood family friend, who was much older than me, was in a band that was opening for them.
Yeah, they were called School of Fish. They had an alternative.
It was
song.
The Vinyls, Crowded House, and School of Fish.
First concert. I was in, what, fifth grade, sixth grade?
Yeah, it was something like that.
That was wild because that was during the 90s MTV craze.
Yeah.
And the chick from Divinyls, remember her? She was real hot.
Oh, yeah.
She sang that song, "When I Think About You, I Don't Want Anybody Else." You always walk into a bar and there's like a heavy set chick, like, who's had too much to drink, kind of
jamming out to that?
Yeah, you know, and everyone's like, "Get away, Stacy, you're bugging me," you know?
Stacy.
I just decided to give her a name.
Stacy, your breath is horrible.
Stacy, quit, stop eating Euros and sing at the Vines.
I have a friend named Stacy. I'm going to have to tell her that.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. She won't like that.
Well,
it's not.
It's not you.
Now you just made it seem like I aimed that comment at her.
No, totally. Not at all. I had a listener come up to me this week and say, "Did you say that people only name their kids Hillary? That are like, you know, it's like old name." I said, "Yeah, Patty Man said that." Mm-hmm. The Stagers, they were laughing about it because their daughter's name is Hillary.
Oh,
they got a big kick out of it. A little shout out to you, Martin, Mike. But
anyway, we saw Divinyls and they were wonderful. I was in sixth grade, and it was like insane to know that we could get that close to her. And my dad was like, "Oh yeah, them."
Would you go to a concert now?
A Divinyls concert?
Would you go to Metallica?
I've been thinking about
that. I'm bartending Metallica this summer.
I'm bartending Metallica.
You're bartending everything. You said you're bartending. What's the other one?
According to this is what my good friend Timmy Hayes tells me. So until he tells me anything else, then I'm not.
Hey, you going to U2? I'm bartending it. I'm bartending Metallica, U2. Listen to how I enunciated Metallica.
Yeah,
Metallica.
Metallica.
Hey, son, turn that Metallica down.
How do you think your mom says Metallica?
I don't listen to Metallica.
How does he say it? He says, Metallica.
He says Metallica.
Metallica. Let's go see Metallica.
Turn that Metallica down. I cannot concentrate.
You don't know nothing about good music. Listen to Metallica.
I'm catching butterflies.
Yeah. Catching butterflies listening to Metallica.
That's not even an album. Like these. Some are. This is not to offend any of our Indian listeners. We love you all.
Yeah,
this has been a tribute to India.
We love Indians, and that's why we feel that we need to lampoon.
Those Pakistanis we don't like.
Oh, boy. We like the Pakistanis too.
Love everybody.
Yeah. Everybody gets love here.
Everybody gets ripped on. Everybody.
Nobody more than Bill.
Yeah. Right. No.
What was it that we were saying that we were gonna like? We're changing everything.
We're going to change everything.
We're going to change everything. That was Billy's toys. The motto: we're going to change everything.
I was driving past a cemetery with my wife, and there was a service going on, a graveside service.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So I said to my wife, "Nice day to be put in the ground." And then I thought to myself, "That's what I want on my tombstone." So let's make that happen, all right?
I mean, we could make a T-shirt out of it through Billy's Toys. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we
do
there.
No ham, just bread.
No ham, just bread. Great day to be buried. Beautiful day to be buried.
To be put in the ground.
To be put in the ground.
Get it right.
Okay. Okay.
Billy, you need to rehearse more before the show.
You need to read the lines.
Oh, do I?
Come into my parlor. Step into my parlor and I teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to memorize.
You can't come to Billywood, or you can't become Billywood without memorization.
I'm going to tell you.
You can't come to, or you can't become.
I chose you, Billy, because your beard is so handsome.
Oh, thanksy, ma'am.
You are 40% Indian already with that beard.
Oh, you're making me blush, ma'am.
You're welcome. You're welcome, dear boy.
Dear boy.
Yeah.
You're welcome, dear boy. Do you like butter chicken? You want to come out?
You like lemon chicken?
On consultation with me? May I ask you to come to consultation with me?
You like...
Yeah, hey, ma'am.
Billy?
Yeah.
You like Hardee's?
Do you like...
Oh, my God.
Me and Hardee's will go over your lines.
We're just saying... Now we're just saying things in Indian guy voices that amuse us.
Uh-huh.
That have double entendres written all over them.
No, I'm trying to picture Ahmad because he sounds like kind of like a con man.
What if he... You know what, though? He might be all right. He might get squirts of mayo on his double stacks from Wendy's.
Sure he
could probably relate to him.
Squirts of double stack mayo.
Two more squirts. Excuse me. Two more squirts.
When you go to Wendy's, you need to get double squirt of mayo on double stack.
You need to be firm with them. Mm-hmm. About how many squirts you want?
Firm is a good. That's something that, yeah, I like that. That's a good verb.
Yeah, it is. Be firm. Mm-hmm. All right, relax. Be firm.
Southern guy.
Be firm with your answers when you're talking to your attorney.
Hey, ma'am, when he gets you in the office for the deposition, I want you to be firm with your answers.
Ma'am, when you get raided for having taken all these people's money that they think they're taking acting lessons and psychotherapy, you be firm with the authorities that when they come get you, don't give in and don't act too crazy.
Tell the
they
truth.
Will tase you.
Tell the truth about how extraordinary you are as a person.
So when I lived in L.A., there was a lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
They would, and then you sign up for these acting classes.
For sure.
Like, you want an agent, we'll hook you up, everything's da 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 da. And it's like, it's expensive. It's like $150.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sure it's more
times,
than that.
Times, you know, there's different sessions and there's 40 people in each class and you got to pay for your session, blah, blah, blah. So these guys are raking in all this cash and it's a total scam.
Yeah.
And they send you these agents and the agents tell you to get lost.
Well, hey, you know what? We're getting towards the end of April now. Mm-hmm. Next month. We ready? It's starting to get warm out. I'm ready, man. I'm getting excited. The weather the last few days has been outstanding.
It has been.
It's getting me kind of pumped up for the summer.
I got spring fever.
Can't big
help
time,
it.
Man.
What are you going to do this summer, Bill? Run around with your shirt off?
Yeah, now that you're all tan and ripped up.
Jump on a jet ski through George Michael beard.
This summer, I'm taking every opportunity I can to be shirtless.
There's guys out there who are doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
I know.
They love it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, is it cool if I take my shirt off?
No.
No.
It's not.
It's not.
Unless you're Mickey Rourke. It's not.
Mickey Rourke. Did Mickey Rourke walk around with his shirt off a lot?
I'm sure he was.
Hey, can I come here?
Drunk out of his mind. I just watched the thing on Mickey Rourke, kind of like it's behind the music.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Mickey Rourke had a behind the music?
You know what I mean? Like a documentary.
Like an A&E documentary, Mickey Rourke.
Fall from Grace. Mickey Rourke, Fall from Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took acting lessons from me, ma'am.
He started boxing at the age of 12.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a professional boxer. He was like 30 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good boxer.
Wow.
And acting kind of just fell in his lap.
Yeah. Well, hey, getting back to sports, the Sox are over 500. They won tonight. They're 11-9. Not bad.
What are the Cubs?
They're tied for first place right now, believe it or not.
What are the Cubs?
The Chicago Cubs are also in first place. They're 12-9. So we got two first place ball clubs here in Chicago right now in the end of April so far. That's not bad.
It's pretty good. Only 840 games left.
That's right. That's right. So I don't know. I mean, that's all we got now. I mean, it's baseball season. Bulls are done.
Bulls done. Hawks done.
Hawks
Bears
done.
Been done for years.
The NFL draft, I believe, is that this weekend? I think
doesn't
it is.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
And you know, I want to correct myself. Jamal Adams is a safety. Last week I said he was a defensive end.
Oh, he's heartbroken.
Yeah.
He can't believe you did that. He's insulted.
I know.
He wants to slap you right in the mouth.
On draft day, he's going to get up on like the podium and he's going to be like, Bill Houlihan, you matched it.
Bill, you're a real jerk.
Yeah, but thanks to my agent, Imam.
Imam, you're a real jerk. Jack Nicholson.
Imam, I told you couldn't sleep on the couch last night. You did anyway.
You're a real jerk.
You're a real jerk.
Now I must pants you. No.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Now get out of here.
All right. This has been another silly episode. We made a lot of...
Well, if you wouldn't have got the strange email...
Yeah,
guys,
I thanks him, man.
All this would have never happened.
Gosh, I appreciate it, man.
It's your fault.
Where do you guys get your content?
LinkedIn inbox.
Yeah, my inbox on LinkedIn. Thank you, Mom.
That's the world we live in.
Yeah. This has been another episode of the Hoolies Hoolie. For those who want to find archived episodes of the show, you can find it on Free Crack at iTunes. C-R-A-I-C. And you'll find the Hoolies Hoolie underneath that search term.
Yeah, check it out.
Also, you can find us on Hibernian Media at freecrack.com. All right.
And Indian MTV.
Indian MTV. Stay tuned after this program for The Crack, if that's any more confusing to anybody.
Yeah.
With Cootie and Hoolie, they record that show live at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions.
At 7.
So
yeah,
play a song to go out.
Yeah, see what you got. What do you got?
I was gonna play a little Kinks. No, huh? We'll do Come Dancing.
See ya.
Thank you. a parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural. Another Saturday, another date. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait. In the hallway, in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week, all for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Come dancing, that's how they did it when I was just a kid. And when they said come dancing, my sister always did.